Well, amen. And guys, if you are thankful to have a Savior who is all we need, say, oh yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're really thankful, say it again. Oh, yeah. That was awesome worship this morning. In case you're wondering, that's what we're about at the gathering place, is Jesus, right? He is everything. And I appreciate y'all reminding us of that this morning. Today we're going to take a look at the year. We saved this moment for our college students to get back so you guys could share in this moment with us, which is the first time we've ever done that. But praise God for our college students, right? You are not just hanging around but working and serving in this body, and you guys are a vital part of the gathering place, and we thank God for you. And so I want you to know that this is a significant day for our church. It's not significant because of the message today, really. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk about the state of the church in the beginning of a new year, kind of what the Lord's, some of the things, the highlights of things that the Lord did this past year, and some messages that he gave us, a direction that he's leading us, and then a challenge for next year. Really some major overarching big picture vision that God has for the gathering place as we see it as elders, as we prayed and sought the Lord for direction. Very excited about some of the things we're going to share today and a continuing message that will unfold as the year progresses. And so I hope that you can get excited with me about it. A lot of new faces today, too, which I always appreciate, and hope that this will also speak to you if you are looking for a place to experience Jesus and a church that's all about him and recognizes that that we have nothing to offer apart from Christ, then this could be a place that God would have you to serve and be a part. So let me just kind of lay out some facts and figures and ideas and things that have happened this past year. I'm going to ask you guys, though, by the way, this is a significant moment for us in the life of the church because, again, not because of the message, but because of what God is doing in this body. This is a very significant moment in the life of the gathering place. Of course, you know, every year when we start looking at a new year and looking back at the old year, I believe it always to me feels like a pivotal point. You know, like we're either going to move forward in the direction that God has for us, or we're going to fixate on something and begin to either experience God's correction and his discipline or just quit listening. I've been in ministry for 35 years. Frankly, I'm so thankful for the gathering place because there's never been a time to date where I feel like that we as a congregation have stopped listening to God. We have continued to be disciplined, and a lot of times that's the way it happens. You know, the Lord has disciplined us and brought us kicking and screaming to the next level, like when he pulls a Kevin Williams out, right? Then we go out kicking and screaming. But God is definitely, in this moment, that was a key moment and will be a key moment in the life of this body. What God is doing there is it fits in what God is saying to the leadership of the church and the direction that we're going. It just fits. But then sometimes it's just, you know, most of the time for us it's just been the blessing of just following God, of just being childlike, right? We are not smart here, right? A lot of you are nodding. You knew that, right? It's pretty obvious. We don't have anything to offer, and we recognize that. We've been knocked off our pedestal as leaders. Most of us have. We've been knocked off of our pedestal. We have gone the route of climbing the ladders that church life and Satan through churches and church life and religion tempts us to climb. And we got to a certain place and found ourselves wanting. And the things that we were wanting we found in Jesus. And found it in dying to ourselves and causing him to become everything. So that may not all make sense to everybody, but it does, I think, to the congregation as we've been fleshing this out together. So God's doing a fresh thing in the life of this body. We We are excited about that. We protect that as overseers of the church. The elders are very careful about directions that we go and very careful to pray through and get consistent, 100% unanimous focus on the direction that the body is going. So, and that in itself is a miracle, just watching how God does that. So what's happened this past year? Well, you know, some of the things we kind of touched on, finances, just in the area of finances has been the most miraculous thing, just the last, since the Gathering Place has started. I mean, God has just shown himself strong in our finances. From moving to $3.8 million debt to debt-free in 9 months in this little building and being able to finance ministry around the world, literally. We've been touching lives and God is doing incredible things through the finances of this body. We're a young body. Most people would say that a church full of, median age is probably 30, can't do anything financially. Well, let me speak to that. You're wrong. A group of 30-year-olds that are committed to Christ can do anything, because God is the one that provides our resources. I've always speculated through the years that the reason why there wasn't money to do the ministries that we felt passionate about doing is because we spent our money on stuff that we didn't need to spend it on within a local body. But I can say in this body, you guys have been faithful to follow leadership and be passionate about the ministries that God's called us to, and we're all on the same page, just moving with the Spirit, and the Spirit has been blessing you financially, and you've been faithful to bless the community through the giving that you have been faithful to give. So our finances have been strong. We had another great year. We were challenged at the beginning of the last year that the budget that we pledged last year was, I forget how many, tens of thousands above what we were taking in at the time, but we ended up the year $20,000 over what we said we would take in. So the Lord was faithful. Again, and he always will be. Again, it's all about Jesus. It's not about us. He is the one providing, and we will continue to walk with him and watch him provide and do miraculous things in this body. So a great year financially. Some of the ways that we were a part of through our ministry and our missions and our finances, some of the ways that we were a part of spreading the message of Christ in the way that we understand it at the Gathering Place is through our mission efforts. Most of you know that we have missionaries in different places around the world. In Uganda, we have a family that's ministering there who were members of our church and left when she was 7 months pregnant, the Williamses. And they are there in Uganda this past year. They planted 4 new churches in Uganda. They are training pastors who are part of a group of 164 people who were saved in one village. And 20 of those men came out and said they want to be pastors. And we have sent a team there to build a pastor training center. And this is in Bush, Alaska. It's a mud hut training center. But they are meeting and they're training. And this was a significant year for them. They've only been there a few years. But one of the men that Kenneth has been discipling, Wari, is discipling now 11 men in 3 different villages. I got a message from him the other day. It took him, he rode 60 miles on his bicycle to all 3 of those villages in a day to disciple these 3 men. So, I'm talking about a heart that's been radically transformed. God is using him and moving in his life. The Williams family grew. Most of you knew that because they came to visit us this year. We got to see them on a sabbatical, but they officially adopted 2 children, one who was given up because she was HIV positive, and her family had just discarded her, and she would have starved to death. And they took her in, and they adopted her, and she is now their child officially. And then Achuka, the little baby that we've followed through the years, is growing. And his mother died in childbirth, and the father's other wives didn't want to take him in. And so this baby is now they're officially theirs. So they are doing well. They got to come and spend the summer, most of the summer here, and took a good sabbatical and are back on the field working, and everything is going well. The journals that we have sold in the front, Akiru is the name of the ministry that they started with the ladies. It's a local ministry, uses local product. They make their own paper, they make their own, tan their own leather, and they make these journals. And those ladies work every week to produce those journals, and they have provided income for their families. And so that's been a blessing. And our church, of course, has bought tons of those. I encourage you to continue to buy those as they're made. But this year, Christy was able to lead six of those ladies to the Lord, and they've been baptized. So the ladies that are working with her in that trade are being saved. So God is doing a great work in this place that was just godless. This ministry, you know, they went there to live among those people in a very short time. God has given them such favor, which is what he does. He's showing himself strong, and people are speaking the name of Jesus among the Karamojong people because of our missionaries. So there's stability in the region. Also, just the physical stability geographically. The rains have come at the right time, and crops have increased, and which is the promise that they had. So keep praying for them and a great ministry that we're doing there. We're providing financial support to them, but we also will probably be sending a team there this year. Periodically we do that. And Christy is 3 months pregnant. So number 8. Yeah. So pray for them. our missionaries in Bulgaria, Justin and Beth Randolph, are in the States. They are receiving further training through Wycliffe to translate the Bible into the language of the Roma Gypsies, and so they are here in the States. They're also, as a matter of fact, all of our missionaries have had an opportunity to come to this area this year, which is rare. In Canada, Brett and Danielle are doing great. Their daughter Lily was born in March, and the Lord's provided some men finally for his church in this very hard area. Actually harder than Uganda for people in the cause of Christ. People do not receive the name of Jesus well. But anyway, he's got some men. The Lord's provided some men, so he's begun to disciple them and move them toward eldership, which he's excited about, having some men to share that ministry with him. So Brett's excited about that. They've started 4 home groups or life groups this year, and they're which is also great. And having good success with that. They are struggling to maintain 2 other new works that they've started, one in Kaylee, and I forget the name of the other village. You have to read their blog to know about that, but they're hoping that these will be church plants and are praying for help in those areas. So we're blessed to have the Thorntons there, and also we're blessed to have them here this summer. Brett preached for us when I was on sabbatical, and it was great to see them, have them here. In Alaska, of course, this is a very tough year for them, for the cops, another family that we have been very supportive of. Nearly all of our mission money, as far as sending people on trips, that was limited this year because of the trouble that they had in Galena. They had a flood when the ice melted in May. It caused the whole village to flood, and our little church there was a center of activity and ministry in the community. A lot of aid and help was coming in there. They were first responders before the government ever got there. The Galena Church was helping families there to recover, and it was devastating. Everyone had to leave. The whole place flooded. So, and we sent two teams up to work there this summer, and a large gift of $5,000 immediately to help with the recovery effort. And so I'm excited about what the Lord has done through this body to bring the message of Christ, the truth about who he is, and us being a reflection of Christ in that community. It was a rough summer for the cops, but they were able to take a short vacation this way. They didn't get to come to our church, but we didn't put any pressure on them for that because we get to see them, but they took a short vacation here. And then they got back to the typical winter in Galena, which has been rough for them. Their car broke down this year. There's no garage to fix it, so that's a big deal there. There's no parts to buy, no parts store to buy it there, so they're without transportation and praying for that at this time. And the circulation pump for the heat at the church broke, and they had a spare, and so they were able to insert that, and they got the heat up to, on that Sunday, I think it was 45 degrees, and the people sat. He said most people would have canceled church. They were all there in their parkas singing praise to God with smoke coming out of their mouths. And he said it was the most beautiful service they've had in Galena. So, you know, that's just the everyday struggles of living in Galena, Alaska, in Bush, Alaska. But they are loving people and changing lives, and we continue to pray for them. And in Honduras, we've continued to support pastor training there. This year, we went and taught the abiding cycle, which the Lord gave us last year, the beginning of this year, and then also did an overview of the New Testament and another trip. And Aaron and Marley got to do some work in some local villages this last year. So we appreciate the opportunity to continue to minister there, and we will continue to do that work. We're going up this year to do a marriage enrichment retreat and to teach the Old Testament. Excited about continuing the ministry with pastor training there and helping the churches in Honduras. Our youth had an evening where they raised awareness and raised funds for human trafficking, and we're proud of our youth for getting a focus on ministry in another country, and they've been a part of that. So a lot of different kinds of mission experiences are going on for our church that we were part of this past year, and it's because of one thing. We want to share the message of Christ, share the gospel. It's not because we're anybody. We're nobody. We're using the funds that God gave us and the gifts of time and energy that God gave us to go and reveal the truth about Christ in foreign countries that God has given us the opportunity to serve. And all those have been personal touches through this body. These are not just random people. These are people we are very connected to. In the way of community ministries, of course, we have a lot that goes on through our body. We did our annual Easter day at Louisiana College, ministering to the community here, and we'll continue to do that this year. And Halloween, we have a major focus on just blessing children and being a part of that experience and blessing them in the community. Mommy and Me has been another wonderful ministry, with some of you that are here now and a part of this body have come through Mommy and Me and brought your preschool children with you, which has been a blessing. No, I'm just kidding. We love our preschoolers. But we have very excited about that. I'm just picking. We are very excited about the ministry to preschoolers and children in this church. But that has been a great ministry. Our children's music camp this past summer was great. Our college outreach, man, I'm just excited about our college students. And students, I just want to encourage you again, man. Look, everything I'm going to say today, it really takes a very specific shape on the campuses where you are. Studying. God has a very, very specific ministry that He wants to do in this community, and you are a vital, vital part of that. I tried to run you guys off. You know, you remember that, right? When you came in at first. Because I didn't know if God could do what He's doing in your lives or not. I knew He could, but I didn't know if He would. I didn't know if you'd allow it. But I'm so proud of you guys. And God has just done a great work in you guys, and you participated, and you plugged in, and you're excited, and I believe you're part of this body. There's an exciting trend going on right now that students are going through, and they're getting married, and they're staying instead of going away. And usually at the end of the semester, everybody's at the end of the last year, they're saying, "Get me out of here, you know, I want to go anywhere but here, not in Pineville." But now, this body is becoming a place where we minister together. We feel very connected to each other. So I hope that you guys will at least consider that at the end of your time here. But there's outreach that needs to happen that we're going to talk about at the close of this report today. Outreach that needs to happen, and it will take a very specific shape on the campuses where you're studying. And I thank God for you. Our ministry of benevolence, we've helped people through the body. We have a ministry where we give monies to people as they have needs and they come. We assess those needs and provide help for them as a church. There's a food ministry that we've done, Raven Ministry specifically, where we fed senior adults in this community and providing food. We also have a food pantry downstairs. We've provided bags of food for people. That ministry has been incredible, and has expanded to be so much more than that, particularly through Rowdy's participation in helping the senior adults in this community. Sinla Down Syndrome has been very active this year, again participating, just doing so many different ministries, touching so many different people in this community. I talk all the time about how that ministry is an example of what the vision that God gave us as a church is, to start something and that the ministry would take off and become its own entity and touch people in the community that would never be touched because it was connected to this church. And I just see that vision from more of our ministries here, that they would be bigger than they are and begin to touch outside of this local body. Our orphan ministry, although it hasn't started, it's not yet its own entity. We have had an exciting year regarding orphans. Daisy, of course, is in process. Praise God, right? Oof. Okay. Very excited and praying for KB and Daisy to get home safely. It seems like God is doing a lot in KB's life right now while she's over there in Uganda. And just preparing them to come home. We're going to get to all be able to hold on to Daisy here in a very short while. We're excited about that. Daisy is a young girl who KB is adopting and bringing home from Uganda. And she is in the country now, sweating it out, finishing out the processes there. Will and Bethany will soon complete adoption for their two children, which I will let them talk about at some point and talk about names and how that came about, because they want to share that. But we're very excited about that process, which started with foster care and has moved through to this point. And we're seeing the hand of God in so many beautiful ways in that ministry. And then, of course, Titus is coming. We're waiting for him. It's been delayed just a little bit, but what a beautiful reason for it to be delayed, because Eric and Lauren have become pregnant, so we have a baby coming. Well, you look pregnant, and she is pregnant, so I said, well, I mean, if you're going to be smart, I look, I can too. Only in spirit. what is it, 9 months after that, we're able to see Titus. We pray that will all go through, and we're anxiously awaiting that. So we encourage you to consider adoption and ministry to orphans and all of us, just to pray through that. So all of these community ministries, and then, of course, during Christmas time, thank you guys for participating in the bell ringing and the Operation Christmas Child. And there's so many other ministries that I'm not mentioning. This is just highlights of things that God has done through this body to proclaim the name of Christ in this community. And I appreciate all of your efforts in that, and certainly we need to do more of that, and we'll talk about that. In the area of discipleship, we've had 38 new members, I believe, if I counted right, that have gone through new member training, and many others that are awaiting new member training right now, that have joined our church by letter of baptism. We started 3 new life groups and have volunteers ready to start 3 more, which I'm excited about, and have some other people who have said that they're interested and are in process. I'm excited about what Eric and Matt are doing right now in preparation for that. We're for the first time in the life of the body really getting organized in regard to that, getting ready to train our leaders and kind of all be on the same page in regard to what we do in life groups, because life groups are so significant to us. It is literally the life of the body. It happens in those small groups. And so I want to continue to challenge you guys, and I will again in a minute when we talk about the future. But I'm excited about our life groups. Of course, our youth life group fires me up every time I get to see them. Bethany's been going through training that this church has provided for her because God put into her life a group, a very unique group called the Youth Cartel that meets monthly. They meet monthly, basically, either online or she goes up there. But their mentality of ministry is through the family, that they're not that they're a part of the body. So it just fits what we are as a gathering place. And we're not event focused, but we are, they are basically doing the same thing they're doing the same thing the rest of the body is doing. And they're excited about some future things that I'll talk about in a second. But I'm very proud of what the Lord's doing there. We dedicated 10 new babies this year. And I think we got another 10 next Sunday. No, I just we have a lot in the oven right now, so excited about that. And again, we take our babies seriously and our preschoolers seriously. We commit as a family to be a village raising our children, which is also why I want to pump everybody into coming week from on the 8th for our weekend. 7th and 8th? The 8th. Just 8th. just the 8th on our week. I've got some stuff on the 7th, but the 8th for that training. All of us, college students, please make a plan to be here. Get your studying done. It's very important. This is village stuff. It's not just youth parents or children parents. It's all of us, everybody. So I say college students, because I mean, that might be, you might not even include yourself in that, but everybody, all of us, even us old guys, need to be here and be a part of that. It's going to be invaluable for us to be a part of that training. Summer camp for our children, training for children's leaders. We had a good group go to training for Agent Orange, I call them, but Orange, the Orange curriculum, and came back excited, fired up with ideas and new plans and visions for our children's ministry. Our FX family experiences have never experienced better attendance and excitement, and just that ministry is really flowing. So we're handing out packets of curriculum to parents to keep us all on track, moving the same direction in regard to teaching our children how to walk with God and putting a focus on virtues, certain virtues each month. But again, the focus being Christ and how he changes us and what he does in our life. We sent 12 members on domestic and foreign mission trips this year. Excited about that. It's a little lower number for us, but again, we spent a lot of money this year in one place because the Lord just arranged it that way. You guys were faithful in that, in serving on those mission trips. Six of our members attended the Right Now conference, which we're excited about what's coming in regard to that. It's a training conference on just how to do ministry. Of its other pastors and leaders from all over the United States that came together in Dallas, and six of our leaders got to go and participate in that in preparation for new ministries that are coming specifically through our life groups. Some of it has already begun, but you'll hear more about that as we move forward. We've been able to do two full worship projects, which has been great discipleship for us in remembering the words that God has given us, that have been totally journaling the experiences that God has given us in his word, the direction that God is leading us. We get to sing those songs and have those memories every day through these worship projects. It's been for us. I mean, we had some other people that we gave them to, but really those projects were for us. And I encourage you guys to continue to listen to those things. They're great reminders of our spiritual journey as a church. We wrote a book together. You haven't seen it yet, but it's written, called The Abiding Cycle, which communicates the basics of how we know and do the will of God and how we come to know God through experience. So that book is almost complete. I mean, it's complete as far as its content. I've already used it at Louisiana College to teach, but that will be something that we can have to put handles on the things that God is doing here and how we can know with some details how to hear God's voice and what happens when we do what he says, and keeping our focus on not fixating on anything except for the person of God, which is going to be vital to us as we move forward into the things that God has for us. And then our church-wide, we have studied two major themes this past year, some other minor themes along the way, but we took a look at the kingdom of God, which has been so significant. Now, I was thinking this morning as they were singing about the kingdom of God, you know, that's I hope we get that. I feel like we do. I feel like the Lord spoke that. We understand what it means to be children of the king, living in the kingdom and taking on the characteristics of the king. These godly characteristics that happen naturally as we are enamored by the glory of God. When we see the beauty of who he is and how it changes us, it makes us into people who look like the king. And doing life in a community where we are revealing that to other people. And then the focus on 2 Corinthians on being jars of glory, that we have this treasure of Christ in jars of clay, and it better reveals the truth about who God is when we embrace our jarness and let the beauty of God be revealed through us. Instead of taking credit when God does something, we recognize really that we are just containers of the glory of God, and he reveals himself through us. We are the temple, right? And God's glory is revealed through us. And so those are major truths for our church that should move us in to the next phase of life for this body. So 2014. Let me just share a couple of things and then make a major challenge to all of us, and then we'll be done. We're going to continue the ministries that the Lord has given us to do. We're going to continue them in whatever form the Lord has for us. We are transitioning our community ministries. It looks as though the Lord is providing an opportunity for us now to do community ministries through a nonprofit that is being created. So pray for that. It just seems that with the way things have happened here and the way things are happening in this new organization, that our connection, that this will be a natural switch for us. So we'll be giving you more information regarding that. But we will continue doing community ministries as far as our feeding and our housing ministries through another entity. Organizing life group ministries through training and technology and expansion. Again, we'll talk about us growing that, but we are going to be providing technology for all of our life groups that will allow them to have access to leadership training and incredible Bible studies that are led by men of God who are like-minded, who we have discovered at the Right Now Conference, who are producing this curriculum for us. And so it's going to provide great resources for the whole church. This is not just for leaders of life groups, but our life group leaders will all get some form of, what would you call that? What is a Roku or Apple TV? What are those things called? Anyway. A set-top box. Thank you, Matt. So a set-top box where we can show those things. And use those resources on televisions in the places where we have live groups. But every church member will have access to those resources as well. You'll have a code. It won't cost you anything. You'll be able to access all those resources. So if you see a Bible study at your live group and you want to share that with a friend, or you have some resource, or some friend has a problem, you want to sit down with them and watch a video together, then we'll have all these resources, children's resources, for them to learn scripture, to learn to see Bible stories in fresh ways, all kinds of resources that will be available to our whole church almost immediately. As soon as we can, we're about to launch that for everybody. We're going to be sending and supporting the road bands, of course, this year, which is kind of, boy, that's on us, isn't it, brother? In April, they're going to begin their transition. Well, actually, in February, they're going to begin their transition, and we're going to be blessing them, sending them out, and figuring out what our connection with the road bands will be as they go to Turkey, another family. Man, we're so excited about sending overseas to another place and our connection with that ministry. And, man, it just thrills me to think about that family being over there, and what all God's going to do in bringing this message to another place. It overwhelms me when I think about how God has blessed this little church with people like Brandon and Mindy and many others of you. We're going to be hiring new staff, obviously, new worship staff, and praying through that. And so be praying with us about that. We're excited about the transition. As sad as we are about losing Kevin, we're excited about what the Lord's going to do in this body and with Kevin as we send him out. Also, he's our missionary, just not going quite as far. New Iberia is just a little bit this way, this side of Turkey, but we're going to send him out anyway as a missionary to another group of believers, because we have a ministry. Y'all with me still? Because we have a great ministry that God's given us for believers who are already believers, who need help being free like we did. And so I'm excited about Kevin and Ronnie and their transition. Annabelle will probably be changing many lives there as well, and eventually, well, maybe before y'all, who knows, one diaper at a time. So we're excited about that, new staff. And then I just want to close with this, and when I say I want to close, it doesn't mean turn your brain off, it really means turn it on, because here comes the challenge. We're going to have a major shift in ministry at the Gathering Place. It's time. I believe the Lord has been speaking, and I don't believe, he has been overwhelming me and other elders with the fact that we are. It's time for us to make a major transition. And the major transition is we're going to be missional, way more missional than we are now. We're going to be missional people, we're going to have missional groups, and we're going to be a missional church, planting missional churches. And that's happening right now. God is right now bringing a major shift in the life of this congregation. And it's a major shift because we have a mode of operation, really, that has felt real comfortable for us. So the shift is going to be felt by everybody. So when I talk about the shift, don't feel like, I get it, so we're going to try a little harder. No, it's going to be a major shift. According to what I'm hearing from the Lord, it's going to be a major shift because we have a mode of operation that's worked for us. And it's been our preparation. It hasn't never been God's intent for us to get stuck there. And if we don't watch ourselves, it's going to become a fixation. So this mode of operation has been nice. This is one of the best services I've ever been in my life today. And I'm challenged in two ways. I'm challenged, number one, to keep my focus on the Lord while I worship. And then secondly, I'm challenged not to get stuck enjoying this creation of God in such a way that I don't move on with God to the next phase of ministry, that I don't keep my mind on being a missional person and a missional leader. So I believe there's a major shift coming. I believe the Lord's been speaking to that the last 4 weeks, to my surprise. Really. Wasn't planned this way. I shared that last week, but there are some struggles that are going to happen. There are some things that will become the reason why we don't move forward and become the missional church that God has for us if we're not careful, very careful. And we may call these things, all these things are things that God gave us. Our existing activities can become idols. We talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and how they had a passion for one thing, God. God gave them plenty of blessings, and they could have spent their time excited about the fact that Daniel was the main man and that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were heads over provinces, and they were better, I mean, they were in the best condition of any of the Jews of their time, by far. And they'd been saved out of bondage, and they could have got real comfortable there. But they didn't have an idol. Their hearts were totally sold out to God. Great examples for us, but we've been challenged. Some of us have idols. And God has been bringing that word over and over again. I appreciate the worship this morning and the new song that our team wrote that God's been giving them before he ever gave me the messages on idols. These words have been coming. This all happened at the same time. Why? God has a message for us. And don't leave yourself out of the message by thinking, yeah, boy, some of our people really need to hear that thing about idols. You do. I do. I got caught. And so we need to engage our minds and our hearts in the reality of the fact that there are idols that are going to steal our commitment away and steal our future away as a church and steal God's plan for this body and the beautiful things that he wants to do if we don't watch ourselves. We need to watch ourselves, make sure we don't get comfortable and lazy regarding our sin. You know, in our church, we embrace grace in a huge way. And the first thing that happens when you really see grace for what it is, the fact that God's grace and Jesus is sufficient not only for our salvation, but for our sanctification. And then when God looks at him, when he looks at us, he sees Jesus' perfection. You know, what it causes us to do if you've grown up in legalism is, man, good, I'm fixing to go sin. That's what the enemy wants us to do. And what happens for us is if you're not careful, you're going to get real comfortable and lazy in regard to sin. And like Samson did. Called of God before his conception, had a ministry that God had for him to do, began to work in that ministry. God gave him great success, again, just like he has us. But then he got lazy about his sin. And we need to watch that. Don't allow sin to just hang around in your life. Or it'll steal away our opportunity to be a part of what God wants to do in this community. Our desire to hold on to God-given success. I mentioned that already, but Jonah was a great story of that. And I believe this. I believe we're already past the stage where where this ministry is not, where this ministry, we are going to do these ministries that God has for us. This body is going to do that. It's going to happen. It's just whether we're going to smell like whale vomit or not when we do it, right? Right? Because God, we gave our lives to God. This church belongs to the Lord. We are not trying to be something, do something. We are God's church, and we're committed to the Lord. So we're either going to go smell like whale vomit, or we're going to go like Esther did, right? And we're going to see our call, and we're going to embrace our call, and we're going to recognize that, listen, that God gave us, y'all with me? Don't quit yet. That God gave us, made us beautiful, literally, to the world around us. He made us beautiful to this community because at such a time as this, he has people he wants to save. The Edict of Annihilation has already been written and placed out there in this community. And God has a ministry he wants us to do. And he's doing it by this. He's made you beautiful by helping you to see the beauty of who he is, by helping you not to judge other people because you see the, because you know you're not judged, by helping you to not be the condemning people that many of us have been in the past, not to be the legalist, but to be a breath of fresh air in the community about the truth about who Jesus is and how he receives everyone and how he reaches out to everyone. And we are that. We're beautiful in this community. Listen, lost people love us. They do. Now, you guys have a great reputation among lost people in this community. And people who are stuck in legalism love you too. And they want what you got. But God's placed us here for such a time as this. And the purpose is not for us to enjoy the palace while the people out there are dying, literally dying. They're either dying spiritually, dead spiritually, or they're dying children of God because they're not operating in the freedom that God has for them. Y'all with me? And you are beautiful people to the people in this community. And they will want what you have. So if we hold on to our idols, if we get lazy with our sin, we hold on to our success, and we don't see the opportunity that God's put before us, the reason why he gave us 5.5 years together to experience what we've experienced, if we don't see that the purpose of that is so we can be a missional church, that we can be missional people, that we can have missional small groups. If we don't see that and embrace the moment and risk it all by putting ourselves out there, by making it all about the mission that God has for us, to get out there and reach the people that he has in this community, that his people, then we're going to miss it. God made us attractive to the world for a reason. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10 says this. This is Jeremiah's prophecy. He said, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord." He's like a... don't say that. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. This is what I see. We are a tree planted by water. And we're going to continue to do small groups, and we're going to continue to have accountability with one another, believers with believers, iron sharpening iron. We're not going to totally quit hanging out with other believers. But that's our roots getting into the Word, right? so we can draw strength so that we can produce fruit. It's a whole different vision. There's fruit that needs to produce. And in a year of drought, which is certainly this time in the history of mankind and certainly in our country, and there's a fruit that needs to be produced. In Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16, Paul said, and he gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. All right, there's a purpose for what we've done up to this point. The Lord has provided leadership. He's provided ministry. He's brought us all together, and there's a purpose. It's the building up of the body of Christ. It's the building up of the body that's existing at this point. It's those that God would bring in, that we would give this unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God that God's given us. So there's a ministry that God has for us. We are a body together doing this ministry. So listen, church, God's placed us here for such a time as this, and we need to settle in our minds that our present position, as wonderful as it is, has been given to us by God that he might use us to reach his people in this community. Those that he has already claimed and those that he will claim as his own through us. We need to be missional people. That's each one of us. Every person in this room that considers yourself to be a part of this movement of God, you need to be a missional person from now on. Right now, we got work to do to ask God to make us, train us, teach us how to be missional people. But every person in this room needs to be responsible to be a missional person. You are on task with God, whether anybody else is in this room or not. I know that when we send Kevin off, when we send Andrew Hunter off, we send Andrew Hunter off, we send anybody off, when they leave this place, when we send Lindsey Bro, who's in Dallas, you know, when people leave this body, they are missional people who get it and have a ministry, regardless of where they are, what church they're in. And we need to be missional people first. We need to be people who are on task with God, where all these things that we've talked about this morning apply to you personally. And then we need to have missional groups, that all of our small groups, our life groups, are missional in their focus. I'm excited about how the Lord is speaking to Eric about that as our elder over small groups, about how we're going to be more missional in how we do small groups. But we've got to be that. We can't put that off any longer. We've got to move into that missional mode. It's time. And then when you have missional small groups that come together, it makes a missional church. I use the example of Wade Poole's group. I remember how hard it was for them to be missional, right, to go off and to create a new group. But the Lord has blessed that. And when they did, it wasn't 2 weeks before if you'd asked any of them, hey, y'all want to go back to where y'all were before? They said, no way. But now that group's getting good. What's going to happen now? Is that group going to continue to be missional? And then what happens is if we all get that mindset as individuals and our groups get it, then when we come into this body, we are attached to one thing, or one person. It's Christ. It's all about him. It's all about being on task with him. It's all about being on mission with him. We're all loving him. We love him in our own lives. We love him in our own neighborhoods, in our own workplaces. We love him in our school. We love him, God, in our small groups. We love him here corporately, but it's all about him. So when God says, go to another place, then we have another church that's ready to go and be formed in another location, right? And maybe multiple churches that will be formed out of this body. Missional people, missional groups, missional church. So we're fixing to go into a series together. I pray that you will take it seriously, that you will commit as much as you can to be a part of these studies, because the Lord has a vision for our body for this year that's going to transition this body. It's going to be easy. It'll be easier for those people who are getting more and more, falling more and more in love with Christ. It'll be harder for you who are holding on to some fixation that, other than him. And my prayer is that every person in this body, from every college student, every high school student to the senior adult that we have. There's only one. So no, I'm just picking. The few that we have, that all of us will take the call. So let's pray together as we close this morning. I want to pray for us as we get into this, go into this journey. The theme of our year, as far as I know, until God gives me something else, is spread it. Spread it. And that is taking the beautiful gift that God's given us and spreading it out to people in this community, to people in our world. Father, thank you for the good experiences that we had. Thank you for the gifts that you've given us, the gift of Jesus and all that comes with him, for opening the eyes of our understanding and allowing us to enjoy, Lord, the beautiful things that make up what we call the gathering place. But Father, thank you for the challenge to move beyond this place. My prayer today for this body is that you will not find us worshiping the created things rather than the Creator. That you won't find us fixated on the beauty of the things that you've created in this body. But rather, Lord, you would give us a passion and a drive to get this out to the people that you would redeem in this community. Father, we know that there are people that you've already claimed, Lord, as your children, and they are miserable because they don't know the truth about you. Father, give us interaction and passion and drive to reveal to them the truth about who you are. And Lord, we know that there are people that you want to claim as your own. Father, give us knowledge and understanding of how to show the truth to them in a way that they will see the beauty of who you are. Father, we need your help in making this transition. I'm sure understand the depth of which our lives are about to be transformed. But we want you to come in, Lord, and take us beyond where we're comfortable. And Father, we want to have the faith of Esther, realizing that you've made us a beautiful people in a community that desperately needs to know you. And Father, let us not neglect the mission, the call that you have placed us here for such a time as this. In what would be not the easiest place, really, in the world to be. But Father, you've called us here, and you've called us to a very specific ministry. And so challenge us in the weeks and months to come. May there be no limit to our commitment. May there be no commitment or risk that we would not be willing to take for the sake of the glory of our precious Jesus, who's been so beautifully sung about this morning, whose characteristics have been given to us wonderfully in Scripture today. Father, may we be those people equipped, ready to build up this community in love. Missional people, missional groups, missional church. Show us how to do that, Father. We desperately need your help. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.